Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to cry about Justin Turner leaving, but it bothers me. It really does. Greg and I had a moment.
Cry.
Put our arms around each other and just said, you know, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this together.
Definitely.
We're going to be all right.
Holding each other.
Going to miss him.
Mm-hmm.
I know. See, here's the thing that sucks about this.
You go down.
I go one over the top. Yeah. The smaller person needs to go under.
I know, but I could too.
I assert my dominance if I can. I try to at least.
But for just 10 seconds a day,
you were crying.
You too can bring back Justin Turner
Look,
to the Dodgers.
That would get me to reach for my credit card. The dogs, yes. I mean, I'm sorry and everything, but that's Justin Turner, I'll chip in a few bucks.
Yeah, would you?
You know what kind of stinks about the whole thing? And I like that the Dodgers do it the way that they do it. I really, truly do. You got to do something extraordinary to get recognized forever in a Dodger uniform. They're not going to retire Justin Turner's number. They're not, nor should they. But now that he's gone, it's just going to be one of those, oh, yeah, I remember him. I don't like that. I don't like that. A lot like Garvey. Like, there's, if you go around, I'm sure they got pictures and everything and MVP trophies and things like, but it's like, he defined an era of Dodger baseball. Clayton Kershaw and Justin Turner were Dodger baseball from roughly 2010 until here we are right now. Those are the two guys that were there the entire time, the best pitcher, the best offensive player, and one of them's gone. I hate it.
You can have and it's like this with any team that you root for, right? You could have iconic moments with that player. You can have great memories with that player. And then you can also have the, what the hell is he wearing? A different uniform, right? Like, that's gonna set in. That will eventually happen. You know, is this right to say that the Dodgers have a plan without really knowing what their plan is?
Oh, I think they know exactly what they're doing. We don't know.
We don't know, but I'm saying, like, the fact that they have a plan.
They do.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
They didn't bring Justin Turner back. They let him go sign in Boston a two-year, $22 million deal. They have a plan. And if it just doesn't fit within the lines, then allow that to go away.
A little bloodless in this whole thing. Like, look, we're going to do what's best for the team.
Bloodless is okay if you're you know, obviously delivering. And they are delivering. They're delivering in the regular season. They're not delivering
in
the postseason.
It's a weird mix. But this was the guy that I thought maybe you make the exception of the rules. Much as I loved Corey Seager, you see a deal like, no, you got to let him go. And you had a contingency plan in Trey Turner. You see some of these other deals, Correa and Bogarts, and I'm not doing that.
Yep.
I get it. This was one of those, you could probably swallow $11 million a year, and it's not going to break your bank. You're good clubhouse guy, et cetera, et cetera. I get why they did it. It bums me out.
Do we know if they offered him? Do we know if there was a one-year?
Sound like the second year was the sticking point. It sounds like that was the part. And they went out and got, we haven't even talked about it. J.D. Martinez is coming in. He had kind of a down year last year. Bigger, probably a little more pop. Maybe not. I don't know. It's just J.D. Martinez is going to feel real different than Justin Turner in that line.
Yeah, of course it is.
Weird NFL weekend. The Raiders got
gifted.
Is it the greatest gift in NFL history? Now, didn't send them to the playoffs or anything. I guess theoretically they're still alive. It did take the Patriots out of the playoff picture, at least temporarily. I've never seen a more inexplicable decision than we saw at the end of that Pats game.
Can I just say this real quick on the Raiders? If I told you two games in the entire NFL this year that really stand out, I have two in mind, okay? One is the Arizona Cardinals versus the Raiders.
Sure.
What week was that?
Four or five.
It was early in the season, right? Early in the season. And they come back. They do nothing for basically three quarters and then score, I think, 22 unanswered. Mm-hmm. And they end up beating the Raiders. And if I said another game that sticks out, maybe these are not the top, but these are a couple that stick out, is Baker Mayfield hanging out with Sean McVay for 30 minutes, getting the ball, and having two at the end of the game where they do nothing.
Against the Cardinals,
week
by the
two,
way.
That early.
Week two.
I think of those two games.
Holy
I think the Rams come back on the Raiders, and I think of that game against the Arizona Cardinals. And there were other games in between. Do you understand that those two games right there, they're 8-6. They're now in the position as where the Chargers are and some of these other teams. But that goes into this gift that they got this
weekend. You know what's kind of a really good rule of thumb? And you just have to remind yourself this. Bad teams always find a way to be in games like that. Bad teams find a way to win random, out-of-nowhere things.
Yep.
The Jags game.
And they're also going to give you one or two along the way. They're just bad teams. You don't see you don't see the Philadelphia Eagles, a team playing like that. You don't see the Rams last year. They play close games, but they're not in these games where you blow big leads.
Teams find ways to win. Bad teams close find ways to lose.
Just an absolute disaster. And here's what it sounded like on the Patriots call of this whole thing.
Off the tackle of the 40, he lost the football. And Jacoby Myers picks it up. He circles back and he throws it across the field.
Oh, my God.
He's picked up by Chandler Jones. He breaks away to the 30. He runs to the 20. He runs to the 10.
Almost sounds like a home call in the beginning.
Unreal! Touchdown! Raiders!
Good night. This might be one of the dumbest teams I've ever seen.
And this is... That's perfectly New England, too. Like, I could picture everybody I knew in New England having the same reaction. It's like, oh, the Pats, the bums.
I'm this say might be the dumbest team I've ever seen.
What else are we going to call
and
that?
And then they cut the broadcast. It was over. And, they
and
went
it's a
to,
Bill Belichick team.
Yeah.
The team's the guy that's not supposed to have moments like this. I asked it before. I'm going to ask it again right now. I'm not even going to ask what the hell is Jacoby Myers doing throwing that ball backwards. I'm just going to assume that he went insane for a minute and thought maybe he didn't know the score or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're throwing it to Mac Jones.
Yeah.
That's not Randall Cunningham or Michael Vick or Steve Correct. Young or any of these guys.
Lamar Jackson.
Caleb Williams.
Lamar Jackson, Caleb Williams, yeah. Josh Allen, one of these guys that could maybe make a move. Mac Jones is about as athletic as me.
Yes.
He's just going to stand there and do nothing. That's the guy you're throwing. What did you expect him to do if, in fact, he would have caught that ball? That's the part to me that is the most shocking.
In a tie game. Okay. You're not down.
Do you subscribe to
this? It's a tie game. Yeah.
Did he not know what the score was?
Well, could have been. I almost wish he said that. Do you remember this? Remember the NBA Finals? Game one.
J.R. Smith?
Cavs sure. And the Warriors. J.R. Smith did not know the score. J.R. Smith thought they were up one. So he thought, I'm going to grab that rebound. I'm going to run the clock out. I'm going to start running back towards half court. We're about to steal game one. It was a tie ball game. At least, as idiotic as it was, there was an explanation for it. At least you can say to yourself, well, if they were up one, he actually is making the right decision.
It was insanity.
Do you guys hear what Bill Belichick said after the game? So he talked about, someone asked him, like, why they didn't throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game. And he said, because we couldn't throw it that far.
Oh, I did
it's
hear him
just
say
kind
that.
Of like an indictment about, like, where Mac Jones
well,
sits on that team.
Did you see what
too?
Happened after that? So what he, what I think he specifically said, I'm like, correct me if I'm wrong. He said he can't throw the ball 55 yards. And then they went back to Alabama and found a bunch of instances where he was throwing 55
oh, that's
yards.
Good. Yeah. That's good.
I don't think Mac Jones is the solution at quarterback for them long term. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to go back to your point.
How would you like to walk back into that locker room? What do you say?
Gosh.
What do you
yeah,
do?
I don't know what you say.
What, I mean, if you're Jacoby Myers and you got to see all those guys on the plane going back and you got to go into the facility this morning to watch tape or get treatment or whatever.
Yeah. And this is not the Colts who are up 33-0 and have nothing to play for.
And everybody
this
in
is the
Colts,
Patriots trying to make the playoffs.
And everybody in the Colts has ownership in that catastrophe.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one guy. It's the one guyness of it all that really kind of takes it to the whole nother level.
Yeah, J.R. Smith's the first one I thought of where there's a moment where I'm like, he definitely doesn't know the score. It's the only thing I could think of is that he thinks they're down. You know, he's getting a lateral, and now he's maybe thinking, well, if he's laddering the ball, then am I supposed to?
You know what it could have been? It could have been one of these, he did know the score. He thinks it's tied. And all of a sudden, Ramonde throws him the ball. He's like, I must not know the score. Because there's no way he throws it to me if the game's tied.
Mm-hmm.
I must have it wrong, and I'm just going to go. Obviously, he knows something I don't, right? Had that moment
yeah,
where
that could be that.
I must be wrong because there's no reason to do this.
Why didn't he blame him? I wish all of his quotes, all of his quotes would say, well, why did he throw me the ball?
It was unreal.
And it wasn't even
and Mac Jones, make a play.
It wasn't even a throw back to Jacoby Myers. It was like a almost like little like handoff. It was very strange. It was not a typical lateral you would throw either. So it's just like that. And then I loved just Mac Jones getting buried into the earth by
he
Chandler
just
Jones.
Got very gently set down by Chandler Jones, like you would like
take
you're
a
dad wrestling
take a nap,
with your 3-year old. You just go, I'm gonna put you down on the ground,
take
soft but not perfectly soft. Just
go to sleep.
Understand who's in charge here, and we're gonna keep it moving.
Go to sleep.
Unreal. Lakers, or excuse me, Rams tonight, Monday Night Football against the Pack. I'm not going to lie. Look, the Rams are 4-9, busted of a season. They had their unequivocal high point last week against the Raiders where they came back and scored a couple of touchdowns at the end of the game. I know that Baker Mayfield, I said this to you a second ago, Slee. Baker Mayfield is the first ever number one overall pick to play for three teams in his first 5 years in the league. That's not something you want to be known for. I'm oddly curious to see what he's going to bring tonight, because I think that's the story. Rams aren't any good. Packers aren't any good.
Yeah.
Can Baker Mayfield do it again? That's the story.
Let me just – he's coming off, obviously, an incredible game. Sure. Nobody thought – this is the game that you thought he'd make his kind of debut in, mm-hmm. right? All right, now you have 10 days. You got some time to kind of figure out what the hell's going on. They played on a Thursday. So by the time he got here, I think they said it was 36 hours or something along those lines. What do you expect?
He ran 20 plays at practice.
Literally.
He ran 20 plays at practice.
That's enough. That's enough. He's ready. He's ready. I'm with you that that is the storyline right now. There really isn't that many other storylines around the Rams. How do you think he does tonight? I will tell you, I think it goes back to the average. I think it goes back to who you really are.
I'm a big believer in expectations. And if you don't have any, I think you're dangerous. That when you come in and look, dude, we're going to get our you-know-what's kicked tonight.
Yeah.
Just go out there and see what you can do.
Yep,
You go out there and you get something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, yeah. And now he's got just enough information to kind of screw him up. Right? Where he's going to come to the line of scrimmage and go.
It's so jacked up, but it's so true.
Right? Think about it. He's going to go up to the line of scrimmage and say, okay, we're going to call XY spider banana, double cross XY.
Yep.
Now I'm in my own head as opposed to just, hey, dude, you go this way and turn right, and I'm going to stick it to you.
Yeah.
Right? It's just enough information.
I think it goes back to normal.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. But if it doesn't, Al, all of a sudden we have a totally different conversation. If it doesn't go mm-hmm. back to the, oh, now I understand why Cleveland and Carolina both said beat it. If he does it again, what are we talking about next? That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It is, in fact, Travis and Sliwa show, still, I guess, for a little bit. I guess they're trying to invade our space a little bit now. But
all right, Chris. Cool, bro.
Sorry, guys. Should have checked that.
If they want to come in,
we'll be good.
Okay. Don't threaten me with a good time.
But so one of my favorite parts about the football weekend was not necessarily my Steelers winning and staying, quote unquote, in the hunt. They're sniffing around. They're not eliminated quite yet, beating the Panthers. But my favorite part was watching the Cowboys lose, and I also just how they lost. It gave me such great joy to just be a hater and see them lose on a last second pick, and it was just lovely. Do you guys have teams like that where like you just get so happy when they lose?
I have a long list. I have 37 teams that I watched
all
to
owned
lose.
By Dean Spanos.
Chargers an easy one.
Yeah,
Clippers. I know you say why, Alan. Why the Clippers?
Yeah.
Clippers another one.
I know the Clippers are on your list. Because here's why. I think everybody probably does. You only have, if you're doing it right, you only have one team in each sport, right? So if you're a Laker fan and there's a million other games that don't involve the Lakers and you want to watch these games, you got to have some. I can't watch sports if I don't have a rooting interest in it. It's got to have some juice. You're right, Emily. So I'm not going to really be rooting for anybody, so I want to root against people. I like watching failure in sports. It's super fun.
Being a hater just gives me some joy sometimes because sometimes you're right.
I couldn't agree more. Watching the Cowboys slink off the field after they had the walk-off pick six was great. Watching Tom Brady blow a 17-0 lead against the Bengals was great. I love rooting against
people. Got a little breaking news here. So we get the status report for the Lakers. So AD, LeBron James also out tonight.
Oh, boy.
Austin Reeves also out tonight. So we got a few Laker players. I think I mentioned this to you that Devin Booker's out, some kind of a groin issue that he's having. So for the Lakers tonight, no AD, no LeBron, no Austin Reeves. Juan Toscano's still out.
What's and then LeBron's Patrick injury?
So left ankle soreness, but I think it probably has more to do with the back-to-back.
Yeah,
more to do with the back-to-back.
Okay.
Thomas Bryant.
That's just the reality of being in your 20th season. That's the reality of being a handful of days short of your 38th birthday.
Can I tell you something so stupid? And I find myself doing this. I'm sure you did too when you were, well, no, LeBron wasn't here yet, but let's just use LeBron James as an example. Yesterday, I'm just kind of going through doing the post-game show, and I'm like, yeah, Bron 39-8 or whatever it was, right? And then I was quickly on to, did you see what Thomas Bryant did? And did you see what Austin Reeves did? The dude's still. And you know, I know we have some nights where he struggles from the field, but for the most part, no, he's a 45% shooter from the field, at least you know his efficiency. Sometimes I just got to take a quick second and be like, the dude's in his 20th year. Go look at other players who in their 20th season, and I'm not
first
telling
of all,
you
very few people get that far into it, and none of them have done this.
And that's what I'm saying is that if you're playing in your 20th year, you're not the best player on your team, or you're not somebody that they're depending on by any stretch of the imagination. But there's a Phoenix. You're going up against the Suns. You're not going to have all your main players.
I've said this before, and I think it's more true now than when I started saying it a few years ago. We will not appreciate him, LeBron, until he's done. When LeBron is done and we're 2-3 years post-LeBron, you're going to look at it like, wait, that can't be right. He didn't average 30 a game in his 29th season or his 19th season. Yeah, he did. And it's gonna take the benefit of time passing to really start to look at those things like this doesn't even make any sense. You take it for granted when you see every night. And I'll go to another step. I think you really take it for granted when he's on your team. When you see him every single night, you really start to take it for granted.
Absolutely.
When he was in Cleveland or Miami, you'd see him on TNT. You'd see him on ABC or ESPN
Sports Center would go out of their way to show him.
Yeah, but you weren't watching him 82 times a night or a season. When you see him every night, and you're to your point, he had 39-8 or whatever the numbers were. It's like, yeah, okay, you just move past it because you know the next one's coming too. When he's on your team, you start to take him for granted more than you were on another team. And until he's gone, which who knows when that's going to happen, then it's going to be one of those. You go back and you look at Will Chamberlain's numbers. You're like, wait, this doesn't even make any sense. Mm-hmm. You go back and you look at Kareem doing all that. That doesn't make any sense. Jordan, he's going to be one of those guys that if you see it every night, says, oh, yeah, he's just a great player in the league. Yeah, but he's in his 20th year. It won't be until well past his retirement that you really can understand the full scope of what he brings to the league.
So he's had, by the way, I was like that with Kobe too.
Kobe, for sure.
I'm like, by the time Kobe is done playing in the game, I'm going to look back and be like, yeah, I took all those games for granted or a lot of them. And that's not to say you didn't have certain moments where you really appreciated what he was doing. It was kind of funny. So LeBron passed Magic in all-time assists a couple weeks ago. And then I want to say on, like, Friday, he passed Hakeem for number 9 in steals. Okay. It's like one of those. I'm like, I feel like every once a month or so, he's passing another great, and it's not just in his one category.
That's the thing.
It's like, yeah, that player was known as a rebounder. Dennis Rodman is known as a rebounder. Magic's not Johnson is known as somebody who dished the ball. Jordan was known as... No, he's
all of them.
Taking a piece of a little bit of everybody, which but goes to the longevity as well, playing 20 years.
It's until he's done, you're not going to appreciate it for what it is, which makes his pursuit of Kareem odd to me, right? And look, he's going to catch him somewhere in February is what it looks like, assuming he continues on the pace that he's on right now. But I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but it does not feel like one of those things that, oh, he's a little closer. He's a little closer. You're maybe as we get closer to it, you'll start to get more invested in it. But because Kareem, and look, Kareem is one of the great all-time players, but he's not particularly well-liked by a lot of people. There's not, if this were Jordan, it'd be totally different. If this were Kobe, it'd be totally different. If this were a player like that, it would be this, oh my gosh, he's going to catch him and how's it going to. But because Kareem is, you know, respected but not loved the way that a lot of other players are, that adds an element to it. Because LeBron has bounced around from team to team in his career, that adds a little bit of a different element to it. It feels slightly odd that, and, oh, and by the way, that they don't like each other is really strange too, that they're going to be on the same court at the same time for arguably the most impressive NBA record there is, most points ever scored. And I'm sure there's grudging respect between the two of them, but clearly they don't like each other. That's good. It's all of these things mixed together bring a really weird cocktail of emotions as you get close to this unbelievable event.
I will tell you, I have definitely, I mean, I know it's coming, but I haven't been like, oh, he's this far away now. Oh, he's this.
Slee, it's going to happen in a few weeks, couple of months. And it's like, yeah, we know it, but it feels weird.
When it starts getting down to, you know, he's within 5 games of doing it, when he's a couple hundred points away, I think all the media news will start shifting towards that. I think maybe we're just far enough to where it's not.
That they don't like each other makes it really weird.
Yeah, I know.
And that they're in the same universe, they're both in the Laker universe, adds, like, if Kareem had just had Kareem's career and LeBron was getting ready to break this record,
and he's in Cleveland,
that they don't like each other, okay, whatever. They never probably spent a lot of time, blah, 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 blah. There's been so many opportunities for them to connect.
Yeah.
And that they had, and the opposite has happened. It's weird. What, is it going to have a handshake? Thank you. You're welcome. Peace.
Well, I forgot who it was.
Strange.
I forgot who it was that said, well, what if it happens on the road? Well, it doesn't matter, because even if it happens on the road, they're obviously going to do something at Crypto when he does come back.
Right.
And you'd expect Kareem to be there as well.
You would expect. I'm busy. I got a reservation that night that I've been holding on to. I'm not going to be able to make it. I wouldn't be surprised. It is a weird,
see Avatar
weird
that
deal.
Night. 3.5 hours.
Why not, right? It is a weird, weird deal. All right, Kirk Morrison, who is my partner on the Buffalo Wild Wings Countdown to Kickoff show, as well as the Coors Light postgame show. You can hear both of those today.
And an Aztec,
that's right. Pregame show starting at 3:15. That would be the Buffalo Wild Wings Countdown to Kickoff. So you'll hear Kirk and I do that coming up in just a little bit. But Kirk's going to join us next, because when Kirk isn't doing Rams games or doing college football, he does a little weekend NFL occasionally. He was in the booth for the Raiders and Patriots last night. So we'll get a firsthand perspective. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So something happened in the NFL yesterday that you will 100% be seeing 50 years from now.
Oh, yeah. No question about that.
The dumbest plays, the most inexplicable conclusions to football games get rerun over and over. Think Herm Edwards picking up a botched fumble with time and running in. That play happened about 50 years ago. We're still seeing it. Okay, think Garo Yepremian in the Super Bowl throwing that pass.
You don't even have to stay in the NFL. Think of any sport, any idiotic play that you could think of.
Buckner.
This will be on the list.
It's maybe at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. Our pal Kirk Morrison was in Allegiant Stadium yesterday in Las Vegas. Got to see it. Kirk, you played in the NFL for nearly a decade. You played college football, high school football, Pop Warner. You've covered football for I don't know how long. In your life, have you ever seen anything like that?
Travis, I've seen a lot of things, but I'll tell you this, what I saw yesterday at Allegiant, had never seen it before, never. I mean, I've been in, you know, last play of game victories or last play of game defeats. I've seen some very quirky things. I've seen comebacks. I've seen, you know, teams that have, you know, won on a last second field goal, or I even had in college, I remember I lost on a blocked field goal with no time left. I had seen it all, and I've seen Hail Marys and been a part of a Hail Mary when I was in Jacksonville. I have never seen the ending to what I saw yesterday at Allegiant Stadium between the Patriots and the Raiders. It was, I'm still kind of stunned. Like, it never really happened, but it truly did. And I think what really summed it up for me is, as I was walking through the parking lot back to my hotel, was I saw a Patriots fan literally vomiting out of his car, and I think that was kind of a symbol of kind of really what happened yesterday for the Patriots and how they lost that football game.
Okay, Kirk, I got a question. Help me understand. What do you think? Like, I've read Jacoby Myers. I read his actual quote. We got a chance to listen to him. What is he thinking? Do you think he forgets that the game is tied? I mean, like, help me understand. Because even, you know, Trav keeps hitting on this too. Let's say he connects and he throws it back and Mac Jones has the ball 50 yards away. What does he think is going to happen? Do you think he just thought for a second, wait, I just got a lateral thrown to me. Do you think he forgot that they're tied?
Yeah, definitely forgot. I think he got lost in the moment, lost into what the situation was. You know, the New England Patriots were situational masters. That's the one thing I've always admired
about the
organization. Yeah, yesterday was not it. So there's a lot of blame to go around. And for me, I think the blame falls fairly on their head coach, Bill Belichick. I really do, because he appointed, you know, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge as his offensive coordinators. I think sometimes, you know, as, you know, we were, our parents instilled in us, hey, this is what you do and what not to do. And they sent us out to the world to make sure we do the right thing. And then even now, as a parent for me, I try to tell my kids what to do, and yet when they go out to the world, they're going to do what they do. Yesterday, Bill Belichick was not a good parent, because there is no way that your kids are supposed to act like that during that play. Like, you have to know that you cannot allow that sort of play. Why not even take it out of the hands of your kids at times and just down the football, right? Just go take a knee. You take a knee, the game's over, you go to overtime. So it was just a whole bunch of miscommunication, but more importantly, man, you just got to take the ball out of your own players' hands.
Kirk's joining us. He was calling the game yesterday in Las Vegas, the Patriots and the Raiders, in one of the most bizarre endings that you're ever going to see in the history of sports, in the NFL in particular. Kirk, like you said, you listed off all the things that you've been a part of, you know, game-ending Hail Marys and blocked kicks and all of these things. What does the team do when Jacoby Myers walks back into that locker room, walks onto the plane, walks into the facility today to get treatment? I mean, it's a team sport and everybody's in this together, but when you have such a catastrophic, terrible decision that not only loses you a game, it knocked him out of the playoff picture.
Lose you a playoff spot.
It could be the thing that keeps them from going to the postseason. What are the other 50-some-odd guys on the team think? What do you say? Is there anything you can do?
Honestly, you just move on to the next game. I mean, it's crazy to think that, but I think we all know what happened, and I think you can't really beat a dead horse, right? It's already happened. You move on from it. It's a learning experience. Does it hurt? Yeah. But I think me and you always talk about it, right, Travis? This is a league that is week to week. I mean, you could be of the lowest of lows, and the next week they could come back and beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who are one of the better teams in the AFC, and all is almost sort of forgotten what happened the week prior. I mean, I think the case in point for that is the Raiders. I mean, me and you saw the Raiders 10 days ago at SoFi Stadium get beat by Baker Mayfield, who was only on the Rams for 48 hours, and with two drives came back from a 16-3 lead, and the Raiders lost 17-16. Now, 10 days later, they win the way that they did. So you talk about the emotional roller coaster for the Raiders, who probably went in their locker room after the Rams game and said, oh, my God, and they're pointing around, looking at each other, and yet they won this way. So I think with Jacoby Myers, he goes in the locker room, guys are going to wrap their arms around him. You know, you give him a hug. Hey, it's not on you. You know, there's also other opportunities,
but it's on
you. That's what Bill Belichick, as a head coach, is going to tell his players. It is not all on one play. We should have won this.
But it
game.
Was. That's yeah, the Kirk, thing, Kirk. Kirk. But it was.
I love the way you turned all that. That was amazing the way you did it. I think Travis and I, our point is, it is all on you. I think we would tell him, I don't want you to forget. Wake up late tonight,
like,
and
the
just remember.
The Colts blowing
this
a 33-point lead. We all get a piece of it. This, then we don't all get a piece of it. Am I crazy?
No, I think too. I mean, I think
Kirk, you're a good teammate. That's what you are. You are a good teammate. Yeah. That's what it was.
Well, I mean, I can look at Marcus Jones on the opposite side, who was the corner, and you're in a situation where a team needs a touchdown, and yet you get beat behind you by Keelan Cole for a touchdown. Like, that's not on the Raiders making a play. That's bad defense, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Happen not knowing the situation. So there will be plays, and I'm talking Bill Belichick, because this is what happens too. And I've been here before. To where, think about how many times maybe Scott Norwood in the Buffalo Bills did everything to win a football game, and then Scott Norwood misses a field goal wide right. We know he feels bad. One of the worst misses in field goal in the NFL history, right? And so we know what's at stake, but yet the head coach has to come in and say, we can't put it all on one play, fellas. I want to show you plays throughout the game where it should have never came to that. And that's how everybody takes accountability. That's what good coaches do, to where no one feels like it was just one person's fault. Now, us as analysts and fans, it's Jacoby Myers' fault. He did this. But we forget, why did even Ramondre Stevenson even throw the ball back?
We don't know.
Like, everybody's at fault.
It was a mess. One more before we let you go, Kirk. What did you make of Mac Jones's technique as a tackler?
It was poor. It was worse. I mean, so like you said, it was blame to go around. At the end of the day, Mac, just get him down. Even if he would have tripped him. Travis, think about it.
Right, it's a penalty, but he's not in the end zone.
Take the penalty. Sounds good.
Right. It's take the penalty. So at least get him down. If you trip him, at least look, okay, it's a penalty. Raiders still got to kick a field goal to win the game. And like you said, you know what? It was a bad play. We lost. But the effort on that tackle was just, come on, man.
Raiders were also getting a touchdown with Darren Waller. His toe was out of bounds, but it's okay. Won't go into that.
The toe was out of bounds. It was just like so much that was going on in those final minutes. The officials had a really, really rough weekend this weekend, and that's what dominated, I think, the headlines in the NFL. But you know what? It was some great games, good quarterback play. It was a lot, and we still got one game left tonight. How about that?
Kirk, I'm going to squeeze this one in, and it's on tonight's game.
Sure.
More likely that Baker Mayfield rides that momentum from 10 days ago, or he goes kind of comes back down to earth and is the Baker Mayfield that we've seen these last couple of years?
No, I think he's more comfortable. I mean, Baker Mayfield is playing with house money. He's not going in to save a season. He's not going in to, bring the Rams to promise. And no, he's going in, to really prove that he's still a starting quarterback in this league. And if you give me the right tools and the right coaches, this is who I can be. So I think that he's going to play at a much better clip. And I think the Rams are going to compete. I mean, you're seeing right now, Sean McVay and Les Snead are chopping dudes left and right. So if you don't play up to a standard tonight, you may not be on this roster tomorrow or even next year. So as a player, that scares me to death. So I know what the kind of performance we're going to get out of Baker Mayfield, because he doesn't want to be one of those guys.
Kirk Morrison was on the call for the Raiders and the Patriots in one of the most bizarre, stupid, crazy endings you're ever going to see. He will be a part of the Buffalo Wild Wings. Countdown to kickoff. Kirk, we start at 3:15 today.
I got the message.
All right, we'll see you at 3:15. Thanks, buddy.
Sorry, sounds good.
You got it. For the first time ever. Last week against the Raiders, Kirk was late. In 7 years, it's the first time he's been late.
Did he think it was a different time?
Or it was 3:30.
And it was 3:15?
It was 3:15, yeah. So, whenever I get the chance to kind of stick it in a little bit and twist the knife and, just be a bad guy, I like to take advantage
of
these
sorts
of things.
And I like his response. I got it. Freaking got it.
You jerk. All right. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So Messi and Argentina are World Cup champions in one of the greatest World Cup finals, maybe the greatest World Cup final
of all
time.
They're going to be partying in Argentina until...
How would you know, Travis?
I read.
For 3 years.
I'm prepared, Emily. It's not like I just showed up and didn't know what was going on. Andres Cantor is the soccer guy that soccer people don't know, right? Like, even people like myself who don't follow soccer all that closely know Andres Cantor.
Yep.
He is an Argentinian American, and this was his call when they won the cup.
Montiel! Argentina campeón del mundo. Argentina campeón del mundo. Argentina es campeón del mundo.
So you don't have to speak Spanish to know what he's saying right there.
Jeez.
That is so great.
Do you not feel that?
It's terrific.
There, and if you haven't, you know, obviously there's the audio right there. There's a lot going on Twitter and other all the other social media platforms. He's got his phone set up.
Yeah.
So you can actually watch him do it, and it's as good as it sounds. It looks just as good as well. It really kind of just brings chills
well,
to you.
What it is, and it is real. It is real,
and
it is emotional, and it is in his DNA and in his soul, and it's all coming out in that moment. This is not calling anyone out specifically. This is not, I'm going to write a line for the end of the World Cup, and when it happens, I'm going to say it, and hopefully it sounds right. Mm. It has to come from the place that you have to have
it
in your heart, and if you don't have it in your heart, you can call it. You can say Argentina wins the World Cup. You can call it, but it will never sound like that, where it's just coming from this place inside you where it is a real thing. And that's what
that's such
Andres
a good,
Cantor
that's
has.
Such a good explanation of you can. You're right. You can script something. You can write it. You can this. You can that. But the greatest calls are always one. You know, you go back and you play Vince Scully how many different times? My idol, Chick Hearn. There ain't no, hey, if this happens in this situation, this is what I'm going to say. You can see right through that. That is as, I don't know how many times I heard that thing yesterday, but in my head, I'm like, that is just unbelievable.
It's really, really cool. I'm not a soccer person, but that's awesome. It's hard not to hear that and get caught up with that. Messi's World Cup victory post is the most liked Instagram post by a sports person in history. It is at 42 million likes and counting, Al. Soccer popular around the world. That's my takeaway from his post.
All right, I got bad news. Didn't even see the post. So I'm going to have to get on there.
Hold on. Oh, it just updated. 42 million and one.
Still working on it.
you've got it covered.
How many did Mbappe's have? I'm sure it has something up there too.
Did he have a we just missed kind of post kind of deal?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure he has something up. You know, it sucks for him too because he played so well. Oh. He had a hat trick. Like it's just
should have got four.
Yeah. Yeah, should have. You should have told him that.
Three goals in the World Cup at age 23.
It's nuts. Well, that's how old is Messi?
36.
So they're talking about this may be the end of his World Cup career, right? Because he's in his mid-30s.
He's 34.
So, you know, maybe he could come back at 38. Maybe not. Time will tell. Mbappe is going to be in that thing for the foreseeable future. You're going to be in your 50s, and Mbappe is still going to be running around doing his thing. You know, God willing, he doesn't get hurt.
Just liked it.
There you go. Now it's there. 42 million and one along the way. Dodger legend Clayton Kershaw will be playing in the World Baseball Classic for Team USA, which runs from March 8th through the 21st. Okay, that's fine.
Is that all right?
It's as long as we don't do anything weird. If this is just basically part of his spring training ramp up,
okay,
cool.
All right.
But if he goes out there and pitches seven innings to go beat Korea, we got a problem. I don't need that. If you want to,
he's trying to leave the game. They're like, nope, you gave up two. We got the closer set up already. Don't screw this up, Clayton.
Look, if you want to go throw your 22 pitches against, you know, Venezuela, great. Let's get it in. Get a sweat going. We'll call it a nice, you know, heavy bullpen, if you will. But that's got to be what it is.
Do most of the players, the Major League Baseball players, do most of them play in this that represent the USA or not really?
Say that again.
So Kershaw's going to play
in
this. Do most other American players play in this?
This one that's coming up, we have a better group of star players than we have previously.
Okay.
It's It's baseball, right? There's no good time to do this. If you do it at the beginning of the season, guys aren't stretched out and ready to go. You're not going to shut down in the middle of the season to do this. And at the end of the season, you've just played 6-7 months worth of baseball. You're not going to say, okay, cool, I'm glad that you just pitched 200 innings. I need another 30 from you to go pitch in the world. It's a weird deal. It's just the nature of the sport where you're asking these guys to do things that they typically don't do. I love it. If you, by the way, other than maybe soccer, this may be one of the most competitive international sports that you can have because North America plays, South America plays, the Caribbean plays, portions of Europe play, Australia plays, Canada, like there are Asia, tons of good Asian teams. Like you have these teams from all over the place. It could be incredibly competitive.
Well, it's different. And I don't want to just compare, you know, basketball, but in basketball, you're pretty much like, look, if the Americans are playing, they're going to win.
Right.
If at worst, they're top three, but they're going to win. It just depends who they throw out there.
Cuba, Venezuela, Colombia, the United States, Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Korea, Japan. If any of those teams, Taiwan, if any of those teams would be like, yeah, okay. I mean, that's 10 teams going into that. You're like, yeah, those all make perfect sense to me. That's you don't get that a lot. Only in soccer, and that's why I was so excited about the World Cup final yesterday morning. I just want to have Andres Cantor narrate my life for a day. Sandwich! He could be so fired up when I took something to eat. Steven Spielberg.
Travis Rogers eats a sandwich.
He regrets the impact Jaws had on the shark community. Quote,
Dad, what are you doing? It's Shark Week.
I truly and to this day regret the decimation of the shark population because of the book and the film. I really, truly regret that. That's one of these things I still fear, not to get eaten by a shark, but the sharks are somehow mad at me for the feeding frenzy of crazy sport fishermen that happened after 1975.
Well, I got some news for Steven. I don't think whether he comes out with Jaws or not, I'm not looking at National Geographic was going to show these predators doing what they're doing.
Not like that. Not climbing onto the deck of the boat to eat a guy in half.
Yeah, but I
like being like vindictive. Like this shark is coming for you.
Yeah, he had a bad
attitude. Specifically. Yeah.
I get that, but I don't think I was also walking away saying, well, I have to worry about. Maybe other people were.
I was convinced after he was done with Robert Shaw, he was coming for me. That's how that was going to go. I thought that sharks were going to come to the beach just to eat people because that's what they do.
Do you have a fear at all of going into the ocean? Some people do. A lot of people do. Look, I don't have it. Now I'm probably going to get eaten.
You should go watch Jaws again and decide if you still do. Yeah. Not only that movie's 1975, so I was 5 years old when that movie came out. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it maybe a summer or two later, and my Uncle Keith took me to see it, so I was 7 or 8. It messed me up forever. I have never, to this day, gone into the ocean.
I don't know why that's kind of funny.
I'll go in. I will go swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, you said you and Michael will go. Or yeah,
I will do it. I've never stepped foot in the ocean since then and not thought, well, this could be it. This could be the last time I get to do this. I know it doesn't happen. I know it's like a lightning strike.
I just don't go deep enough.
Oh, this is your biggest mistake. They come in shallow.
Yeah, sharks in the shallow.
You don't have to go out deep. They come in and see you.
Now, I think you guys understand how shallow. I think I'm literally
So here's the thing. They have the drones that go over now and they take all these
I've seen those.
They're 10 feet off the wave.
Yeah, that I've seen.
Yeah, you go in so you don't take care of your business and then there's a shark.
That I've seen.
But also it's like Jaws invented the summer blockbuster. It was like that was the biggest thing. And I think that Steven Spielberg, though he says this, I don't think he regrets doing Jaws whatsoever.
Yates, you got to come in here for this last one. We'll get Super Crosstalk started here because an iguana caused a large-scale outage in Lake Worth Beach, Florida earlier this month. It is the third iguana-triggered outage
in
that
the
city has experienced. So we'll get into that next on Super Crosstalk. Woo, 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 woo. No Mason today. No Ireland. Today, but the big CY, Clinton Yates, Andy Kamenetsky,
AK in the house
in Ireland today. Andy, once you're set up, we can talk about how I think we're the only two people on Earth that were not enthralled by the World Cup final along
and
the
Michael
way.
Thompson wants to know why you guys ghosted him. He called the both of you yesterday.
And I heard you proudly proclaiming this. Taylor as well. Ha! You think I watch World Cup? What do I look like?
It's not our best here.
What do I look like? Some straight cisgender tall white guy? Oh, wait. No. That's both of you.
Oh, sorry, I missed it.
Why do you care what I like?
I don't care what you like, but the idea is that here's the deal. I actually got out of my bed and walked to a local establishment to watch this. Why?
Good for you.
Because the humans who enjoy this are the type of humans that get out and do this. This is kind of why we do it all. And here's the other thing. It was the best men's World Cup final of all time. So that there was a bonus element to people getting on you because of that. Don't get me wrong. The final, normally not the best match. But in this one, you got a banger. You got dealing with both the French and the Argentine populations. Lovely populations, if you get my meaning here. It was a great time being out.
Here's what I was hoping for.
What's that?
I know he doesn't like soccer. Which is fine. I'm not here sitting watching soccer matches all the time.
There's a difference.
Okay, but there's not caring is a pretty that's not that far off from saying that, yeah, I don't care about that sport. You're not paying attention to it.
Yes.
But I'm kind of the same way as well. I was hoping, and this is what it is, if he's not getting into yesterday's game, you're not gonna get into a game.
No.
I thought you'd get caught up in it. I thought somebody could not be a football fan or like
had I been watching it, I may had gotten caught up in it.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, if 710 had a watch party, would you go?
If I was contractually obligated to attend, I would attend.
Not quit my job over this.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a lunatic.
I guess what I meant is, amongst people who you know how to throw a good party, if there's one surrounding the World Cup final, which is effectively the Super Bowl of global sports, just in the context of, no, most people who watch the World Cup final are not necessarily soccer fans. They're just tuning in or joining for the party.
I like a good time. If there's wings and beer, I'll show up to a party. But I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like I missed anything, I guess is the point I'm getting at.
No, you missed a lot.
Okay, first of all.
Not to me.
It's really good.
First of all, for me.
That's the point. This is the point. That it was good or not is not my point.
Okay.
It was good.
Okay, but Trav, it's the same thing as somebody who knows nothing about football.
Sure.
And they go to a Super Bowl party or they watch the Super Bowl. And they get into it. They're not going to go watch weeks 1 through 17 or 1 through 18, but they get into it for that moment. That's it. It's nothing more than that.
I mean, look, let's just be honest about this. What you're talking about, Alan, that's an American culture thing, the Super Bowl party that transcends whether or not the guests all like football or not.
Certainly.
America is not a soccer culture. Therefore, the once every 4 years party is not going to infiltrate American culture, broadly speaking, because obviously there were a lot of Americans who got caught up in the World Cup and enjoyed, and that's great for all of them, but it's not apples to apples.
No, but
you're not talking about something.
This is a bit of a misnomer, because the notion that America isn't a soccer culture is not the point. You know how many people are in England? Like, total. There are more American soccer fans in the United States of America. Right, just on numbers alone.
But England
forget
is
about the percentage.
But England is a soccer culture.
What I'm saying is this. There's still more people that actually enjoy the game. Okay. And so when you talk about these pockets of humans where it's like, oh, no, nobody's trying to convince anybody to like anything. But you're going to find yourself a good party when you get there. I think that's kind of what I'm getting at. And you might enjoy that. That's what I'm saying. As a man that I know enjoys a good party, you might enjoy that.
Travis more enjoys, to be honest, because I know Travis pretty well. Travis enjoys the accoutrements of a party.
That's what I'm saying.
More than the actual party.
Absolutely.
He doesn't necessarily need to be amongst the people. If you send him all the stuff that's at the party to
then
his house,
he doesn't need to go.
He doesn't need to meet any of these human beings.
That's a good point.
That's exactly right.
I understand,
right.
Just
Travis.
Leave everything at the front door.
The party a la carte, if you will.
If there was going to be a biography, I'd like you to write it, Andy.
Just Instacart Travis all the stuff that you would enjoy at the party.
Did you
and
see,
he's good.
Did you see a missed call from Michael Essen or yesterday morning?
Michael Thompson.
Oh, is that why he was calling me?
There
he called
this is amazing. Michael tells me yesterday. I see Michael, and I know he's obviously, I knew he was going to be excited about the game. The last couple of weeks, he's wanted to talk World Cup during the pregame show. So,
oh, really?
He's obviously excited about,
did
about
not know that.
What's happening. But he mentioned, he said, do you know I called two people this morning? I called Travis Rogers. I called Andy Kamenitsky. Neither of them answered. I'm did they hit you back? Did they text you back? He goes, nothing.
I thought he was butt dialing me.
It was like
6:30
also,
in the
Michael,
morning.
What are you doing? Call the big CY. What are you doing?
He did that on purpose.
Oh, so he was trolling you guys.
He's not even trolling. He knows that he was trying to get them to answer and say, guys, the World Cup's about to start. Watch the World Cup.
Telephone tree?
Something like that. Both of them ghosted him.
I love that.
Well, again, though, The first call was at 6:05, which, yeah. I mean, my immediate...
The broadcast starts at 6, the game starts at 7. First kick, we all know this.
Right, my immediate response is, Michael must be butt-dialing me on accident, because A is often for to let people behind the curtain butt dials. Yeah. Andy, the higher up you get into the alphabet, the more likely you are to get butt dialed.
That's an excellent point. I did not realize that.
So this happens to me. So I figured it's 6 in the morning, and, you know, I've already forgotten about our conversations Friday about the World Cup, and it's 6 in the morning. I'm not really thinking anyway.
Did he call again?
Yes, he called again at 7, to which I'm like, the hell, dude?
So
wow.
I was
he was committed.
Are you not texting me?
I'm texting.
I'm trying to sleep, man.
I was up because I'm old and I can't sleep anymore, sure. Right? So I was not near my phone.
No.
So I go back to my phone, and Michael's first call to me was like at 7:10. And I look at it, and I see a missed call. I'm like,
what a company, man.
Had to be a butt dial. Had to be a butt
right.
dial. And I don't think too much about it. Then about an hour later, I get another call from him. I'm like, why is Michael trying to get to me at 7 o'clock on a Sunday? I'm like, oh, it's got to be the World Cup.
Check out your missed calls, your missed call times, because I also got one at 7:10 a.m.
Wow.
What were your other times, Travis?
I'm going to look right now. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
So in the interim, I'll tell you guys that I did have, speaking of accoutrement, let's just say that I bought something from the store in my neighborhood.
7:14 and 8:47.
Okay.
Wow. You went 8:47.
I got 6:05 for my first, which is really
that's
the big,
early.
That's the big double middle fingers. Yeah. You've already lost me at this point. Then 7:10. Then 8:48.
Well, I'm going to ask Michael and Pri, why was there an hour difference between? I mean, the times are all.
Maybe
over
he had
the place
an hour's here. Worth of people to call.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Andy's A. Travis
the telephone
is T.
Tree is long.
He has to
right.
work
hey,
through
Trace.
All the other letters.
Trace, are you up? Clay.
So I got something. I got a let's just call it a gift. From across the street, the place that I buy things from regularly during the week in my neighborhood, if you get my point. It's a soccer ball. And when I first walked into this establishment to get it, I was like, oh, I want one of those. Whatever. I'll take whatever the price. I want one. It's a trinket from World Cup. I want it. I bought two, as a matter of fact. I went back into the store 2 days later, having completely forgotten about the things that I had bought at the store because I was coming home from work. I had been at happy hour, whatever. Some things just end up on the couch in a bag. You forget about them until the next morning. A couple days later, I walk by a poster in said place, and I go, oh, right. I bought those. And then I realize, I'm like, those aren't just soccer balls. There's something inside of these things. But I couldn't figure out how to get the stupid ball open. So I had to go to YouTube and find a guy. And sure enough, different toys of all different varieties from like six that were branded for six different countries that were like all in the thing. Coolest thing I'd ever seen. I gave one to my buddy. He was like, you're serious? This is a gift? I can keep what's inside and I can keep the ball? Absolutely. So for those of you who saw, perhaps on my
now
IG
me
story.
Soccer.
Yeah, see?
Now
no, see, I knew. I knew. I knew. Those of you who saw my IG story and saw a picture of a soccer ball in which I pointed arrows at Croatia and Morocco because they played it in the third place game, that was just a little coded message to those who know what's actually
well,
going
what's
on.
Well, what's kind of weird
I'll
is,
show you the pictures offline later.
What's weird is they didn't watch Sunday's game, but they both caught Croatia and Morocco for
yeah,
third
Saturday.
Place.
Saturday, third
for
place.
For third place. They both, which was so weird. That was the game they both cared about. They didn't care about the final. The third place game is what got them.
Yeah, what do you got? Okay. Oh, you got to open that up for me. Oh, yeah.
Wait, this is Miss Croatia,
now
right?
Now we're talking about it. Look, by the way, that I'm a soccer fan now.
Right.
That
see?
Seeing what's inside those soccer balls
all took.
Makes me incredibly exciting. Not that that reminded me of anything, Clinton, but did you go to Mike Tyson's event? Did you go see Iron Mike?
I did not end up at that. He was gone by the time I could get there, and so I did not bring the gifts. That's why I kind of felt bad, too.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to see if Mike was in full Mike Tyson.
What event? What event was this?
He was going to go see
good
Mike
brand.
In a local dispensary. Mike was he did make an appearance, and you just didn't get there
I didn't
in time?
Get there because by the time I got out of here, after a crosstalk, I checked the thing, and I was going to be getting there right when he was leaving, and I didn't want to risk it and be all out.
Okay,
there, so.
Very quickly, guys.
I did other things.
What we saw the Patriots do at the end of the game
Bro,
yesterday.
Not bad.
Is that the dumbest play in NFL history, considering that it was a tie game that could have gone to overtime? Is I know there's the
playoffs
Joe
on
Pisarcik,
the line.
Herm Edwards moment, which we still see 50 years later. There's Garo Yepremian. There's
sure.
Leon Lett times two. He has two of those along the way. But I don't know, because here's the thing, and Al's heard me scream about this for the last 3 hours. What did he expect Mac Jones to do with the ball once he got it?
I'll bet.
You're not throwing it back to Michael Vick.
I'll bet he thought Mac Jones could have thrown it again.
I think
he just didn't know.
So he doesn't know. He doesn't know the rules
because the
what is this outside cul-de-sac football game?
Calvin Ball is real. I mean, like the audacity of the play, and then the fact that he even explained after the game. He said, "I thought I saw the quarterback open." He didn't say Mac Jones, elite athlete. He said, I thought I saw the quarterback open. Leading me
does
to believe
this not
he
make
thought.
It worse?
No, it kind of does. But at the same time, it's like, bro, this is a Bill Belichick coach team. How does this happen? I'm not depending on special teams players to make great plays at the end of games.
It wasn't a special teams play. It was a regular play.
I get it, but I'm saying, like, in a sort of special, what I mean is like a close game situation.
Because obviously you should just take yourself to overtime and start over again, obviously. But if you are trying to bring this thing to fruition, you are trying your best to keep that ball with live possibilities.
Yeah.
That's the logic. It's not good logic, but that's the logic.
Galactically stupid. Agree.
So,
he didn't know the score.
That's it. The other part of this, and I have two theories here. Number one is he just didn't know the score, and so he thought they had to score to win the game, that they were behind. The other part is the first Patriots player who threw the lateral, Ramondre Stevenson.
That wasn't necessarily a much better play.
It wasn't. Yeah. It was less risky, but equally stupid.
And probably created panic.
And I wonder if that wasn't the moment where Myers said, he must know something I don't. Maybe I don't know the score. If he threw it to me, we must be behind.
You know what,
and then he panicked.
Yeah. We have seen, like, how many of those in our collective lives watching football? Those toss the ball around, sure. toss the ball around, lateral. They're just like us. They've watched a million of those, too, and our instinct is always keep the ball live.
Yeah.
Like,
they weren't behind.
That's why I said it's effectively a special teams
play.
That's what kills it, it's a tie game. Though, takes over. It's just you need to keep this ball live.
I tend to agree.
Does no one in the huddle goes, guys, it's a tie score. If we get it, great, but nothing crazy here.
Well, they're not even throwing a Hail Mary. You're basically just saying, hey, we're going to overtime. The play call is we're going to overtime.
But,
they're not throwing it 60 yards.
Listen, Belichick said after the game, the reason he didn't go to the end zone is he can't throw it that far. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't...
Which has been proven to be false.
Right, meaning, I don't know that the play was to just go to ground. You know what I mean? If they had a play drawn up that they thought... The play was not to throw it backwards 40 yards across the field.
To the quarterback.
But if they thought that they could get some kind of a playoff...
To the slow, unathletic quarterback.
Man.
But you just think he's going to throw it to someone else. Like, if anyone can find somebody open for this lateral, it's your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the guy doesn't know the rules. I told you, one of the smartest things I ever learned when I first started covering football in college was that I'll never forget this. The offensive coordinator, he said, bro, you know why they have scoreboards on both ends of the football field? He's like, it's for the players. These guys do not remember things in situationals the way that you would expect them to because, hello, they're knocking each other around all the time, and it's kind of hectic. He's like, trust me, guys forget situations a lot more than anybody's willing to admit.
I don't disagree that guys forget. That doesn't make it any less stupid.
No.
It doesn't make it any more. No, he's a good player.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is your point about calling it a special teams play. This is not a guy who's never on the field. He's one of your better offensive players who's out there a lot, who presumably has some situational awareness.
Presumably,
who just went.
He's going to be remembered.
Yes.
For that play.
I will be, God willing, 80 something years old, watching football on a Thanksgiving weekend, and that play's coming up.
100%. That replay will come up.
You'll see it again.
I've been watching replays of the reaction videos on TikTok literally all morning. That's like what I've been doing. Dude sitting on their couch, just in total disbelief. Old guys in somewhere in New Hampshire or whatever. Just can't believe what's going on. It's been fantastic.
You want it right now?
Yes, right now.
I only do it because I like you.
Yeah. I want
to hear. Here it comes. I know it's coming.
Yep, that's coming.
Hold on. We're World Cup champions, and I want the trophy, and I want a ribbon, and I want a cake, and I want all my friends to have a sleepover, and I want it now. And Messi's mother, in this particular stuff, now Messi, you've earned it. And they'd have a little party, and they'd bring their sleeping bags, and it'd have Garfield and Lightning McQueen, and everybody would have a
Lightning
wonderful
McQueen.
Party. Yeah.
I just wanted to be noted that honorable Mexican Jorge is in here. Rocking the Albiceleste with the most pride I've ever seen a non-Argentinian, non-Barca fan rock.
Alan knows why.
Yeah, he's got a cool story.
I know why.
He's got a cool story.
I'm just
about
saying.
It.
He came in here acting like he might as well have been born in Buenos Aires. I mean, you know, that was the impression I had.
A little
when
too
he
far.
In.
I got to say, okay. Emily's right. pronunciation was better than yours.
Of what, Buenos Aires?
Yes. It sounded a little better.
Emily's from Argentina. Yes. She's originally.
I was like, are we competing on accents?
Yes,
now?
I am. I'm scoring everything all the time.
Maybe you should tune into the show and you might learn how to say the name of the country. Hey, oh.
Huh?
You should watch the games, then you know how to say the words.
But I don't want to.
Exactly. That's why.
That doesn't interest me.
That's
at all.
Why it's not that it impressive sounds... because those of us who watch the soccer know how to say the words.
But you didn't. She did.
No,
Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
How would you know?